The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That is Greystone Canyon for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning into Radio Memphis Around the World with me, Dee, straight up out of Australia. And of course, In These Shoes off the album While the Wheels Still Turn. And that was actually released in Europe, the USA, and Canada through Rockshot Records and on Hellfire Records in Australia. Now, that band includes Dave Poulter on bass, Rich Vella on guitar, Luke Wilson on drums, and Darren Cherry on guitar as well as vocals. Why do we know so much about the band? Well, one, we've got their music. Two, they were actually an artist of the month for us right here on Radio Memphis Around the World. That's right, for October 2018. And we've been trying to take that opportunity where we were able to actually catch up, you know, with the band, at least one of the members. And as it turns out, I happen to have Mr. Darren Cherry on the phone on Skype with me. Okay, I can hear you. I can hear you a little bit better now. How you doing, my friend?
I'm very well.
Oh, you are so very welcome. Are you kidding? I have thoroughly enjoyed spinning your music, and I tell you what, Greystone Canyon has got quite a very distinctive sound.
Well, thanks very much. You know, we've been wanting to do something different, and I'm just called to connect with people, so I'm glad to hear that.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I know that you guys have been getting a lot of response, and I know that everybody's been picking it up, and you've gotten a slew of people that have watched the video In These Shoes.
Yeah, the video has done great for us, and you know, that's a powerful tool these days to launch a new band and a new album. You know, we're just planning on following that up with another one, so yeah, In These Shoes is the current single, and we're really stoked with the reception that it's got so far.
Wow, wow. Well, you know, it's funny, and for those of you that are tuned in, I'm talking to Darren Cherry. He is the front man for Greystone Canyon out of Australia, right here talking to Memphis, Tennessee. You know what's really funny is that when I came across your music and you guys had sent some stuff in to us, you know, I was looking through it, and you guys have a very specific thing that you're doing with this music, and you actually paid homage, you know, to the Western, you know, to Western, old Westerns, Western style, and things like that. Was this something you guys just kind of stumbled into, or is this something that you actually kind of concocted, or, I mean, how does this work?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both, you know, like, we had the songs, the influences, I think we wear them on our sleeves, like, we love classic rock, we love a bit of 80s heavy metal, and we're very music orientated. We wanted to have some deep music connections, and then, you know, when it came to fitting lyrics to the sound, it just seemed so natural to go that way. We're all big fans of Western films. The Australian landscape here has a lot in common with what you have there in the US in terms of the wide open spaces and that type of thing.
Right.
Desolate plains. So it just kind of happened on its own. When we started out, we didn't have a name, and we hadn't chosen a topic direction for lyrics. So it kind of just happened on its own as we were listening to the sounds that we were making. We're like, you know, like, that this just feels right.
I got you. Now, okay, so you got yourself on guitar and vocals. You've also got, you know, Luke Wilson, you've got Rich Vella, and you've got Dave Poulter. How did this entire band come together here? I mean, how did you guys get together?
So we're all from Melbourne. We all play in other bands, and I was actually playing in a King Diamond Merciful Fate tribute band.
Nice.
And I was playing a festival in Adelaide, and I had the itch to do original music again. And Luke Wilson was playing in a band over there on the same festival as me, and I was just blown away by his drumming. Like, you know, he played so well and so powerful. We happened to be sat next to each other on the flight on the way home, and you know, and it just kind of stemmed from there. So Dave Poole to the bass player. He plays in a band called Maniacs out here.
Okay.
You know, he's a guy that these are guys that I didn't really know personally. I was drawn to them musically. I'd seen them all play individually.
And was, oh wow!
You know that they were. If I made a list of my favorite players that were here and I had kind of some access to,
right.
These were the guys. And I was lucky enough that, you know, when I reached out to them, that they all jumped on board, you know, and said, yeah, let's give it a go.
Well, that is quite interesting, because, you know, it's funny because everybody has this mindset that Australia is not as big as it is. You know what I mean? And I mean, the difference for you guys and versus, you know, people that's here, like in the States and stuff like that, you have all this land, you know, all this property that, you know, and when you're talking about traveling from city to city, it takes so much time to do so. And so how is it that, you know, you were able to work with these guys? I mean, everybody's pretty much in the same area and stuff like that. You're in Australia, you know, what was the inspiring factor of, hey, we're going to put this album together and, you know, we're in Australia. It's already hard enough to go from city to city, but in hopes that somebody else going to hear it. I mean, what was the inspiring factor? What was the kickoff for that?
It really was. I wanted to do something different personally, and like you said before about paying homage, you know, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I had these ideas that I really wanted to do something that was heavily influenced by, you know, some of the great bands of the 70s and 80s.
Sure.
I found these guys that I just was so enamored by their individual playing abilities, and we shared a similar taste in music. I was quite happy to just see where it went and do some demos with these guys, and, you know, and if nothing came of it, it would just be fun to make music.
Absolutely.
We were super fortunate that, you know, as soon as we did some demos, I sent them to Glenn Robinson, who's a Canadian producer who's worked with Queensryche, Annihilator, Metal Church, Voivod. I sent some to him and said, look, we didn't even have a name at that stage. And he really liked it. He agreed to mix it.
Oh, nice.
As soon as we had a rough mix done, I started sending it to labels. And, you know, The band had never played live or anything, and then I was able to go to the guys and say, hey, look, we've got a record deal. You know, we can finish the album and actually put it out, and people like yourself will hear it. So, yeah, there was no big game plan. It was just, you know, let's do this for the right reasons of just making music and see where it leads.
Wow. See, that's crazy because, you know, and for those of you that are tuned in, you know, I'm talking to Darren Cherry, you know, front man, lead man, vocalist, you know, for Greystone Canyon out of Australia. You almost did everything kind of backwards.
Yeah, we did. And in the local scene now, like doing it the traditional way of putting a band together and going out and playing loads of shows, It's not what it was years ago.
Like, right.
People have so many distractions. There's so many subgenres.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure that way here anyway is the right way to go. It was easier to concentrate on writing good songs and
perfect
producing a record that sounds professional.
Perfect.
It was a lot easier, you know. We're on Radio Memphis now, and we're Artist of the Month, and we're,
yes,
you know, hundreds of thousands of miles away.
Isn't that awesome?
You know, that would have never happened if we were just playing local shows.
See? Isn't that all? That's kind of a crazy cool feeling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think the main thing for us was putting in that work and going about it the way we did. At the very least, you had the album.
Yeah.
Like, if you put all of your efforts into that, you have the album. You can put the same amount of efforts into doing a live show, and if you have a bad sound that night or people don't turn up, you know, you can't control those factors, and then it's disappointing beyond your control, whereas the album you can somewhat, you know, control.
Nice. That's nicely put. Very nicely put.
It's up to you how much work you put into it, and then, you know, hopefully you can reap those rewards.
You know, Darren, it's funny because, you know, earlier, just a few minutes ago, you had mentioned that you made it a point to get all of this music and stuff together, and you actually, you know, worked with the Canadian, you know, Glenn. We're just going to refer him as the Canadian, okay? Yeah. We work with the Canadian. But there's a thing, though. I mean, and of course, you know, with Glenn's, you know, repertoire and his background and all of his history as far as who he's worked with and mixed and produced and stuff, how important was it for you to step outside of your box and have somebody else like that put their hands on your music? You know, there was obviously a very specific reason why you reached out to that particular individual.
Yeah, sure. I actually made a short list of producers that I thought might be accessible to us, and they were all, none of them lived in Australia. Mm-hmm. Glenn was one of the few that responded, and
wow,
it went from there.
Wow.
And, you know, honestly, I didn't even know whether he would take on a project like ours, given that we're an unknown quantity, and then can we afford it? You know, and look, working with Glenn on all aspects was fantastic, and also attaching his name to it, I'm sure, helped us. It helped us.
Wow.
Have labels take notice of us.
You wow.
Because like, you can be an unknown band from Australia, but all of a sudden, if Glenn Robinson's mixing your album,
yeah,
maybe someone that wouldn't otherwise give it a listen,
yeah,
checks it out.
It does make it happen. And so, Darren, what you're telling me is that you guys didn't know anybody, and you just, you know, in terms of outside of you getting the music together and putting everything together, and you just threw your fishing line out and goes, hey, okay, here we are, this is what we got going on, and that's exactly what you did.
Sure, that's correct. Look, the only thing that gave us an advantage is I have a background in the music industry. I'm a former employee of Roadrunner Records.
Oh, see?
I understand how it works, and I know how to go about it.
Right.
None of the people involved had I had any previous contact with, but, you know, I understand how the business works.
You know, though, I will give you this. Kudos to you for being proper, though, you know what I mean? And doing it still the correct way, even though you've been in the business and you know that, you actually still did it the correct way.
Thank you very much.
That's yes. I'm impressed. Okay, I'm impressed. I'm totally impressed. I'm wow. Wait, good for you, man. That's fantastic. You know, I get it right now. Yeah, you're too well spoken. I get this now. All right. No, you. So I mean, that being said, it's interesting that you even bring up the fact that you were part of the business, and here you are as an artist, you know, unsigned, you know, indie, or signed rather now, but you're still indie, and you still have that belief in that system then, do you?
I really do. Like, you need a vehicle behind anything to get exposure. You know, I'm talking to you because somebody from either the publicity department, from the label, or the promo team has sent you music. You know, I haven't sent it.
Yes.
And you can't, trying to be a jack of all trades, my job in this is to write and produce the best music we can.
Yes.
And I want to work with people that are as dedicated to that in their field, whether that's publicity, whether that's marketing, promotion, you know, and you certainly need the machine.
Wow. You know,
like I know for a fact with our, you know, our current single, the video, without the promotion that's gone behind it, well, the exposure wouldn't be there. You know, if I'd have just put it up on my own YouTube channel and tried to spread it around,
see,
you know, it might have a few hundred or a thousand hits, but on, you know, now we've had over 50,000, and
right,
that's what you need, you know, if you want awareness for the band.
See, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because obviously, you know, you kind of understand, you know, as far as what we do here at Radio Memphis, you know, we represent, you know, we play unsigned as well as indies, you know, and major indies even for that matter. You know, the station itself, you know, does show up in 160 plus countries, and, you know, and it's all been like homegrown, you know, word of mouth when we started this. We've been doing this for almost 8 years.
Fantastic.
Thank you. And one of the things that I'm one of those, I mean, not only do I do Around the World, I also do Memphis Metal Mondays on Monday nights. And, you know, one of the things I'm, and, you know, on this show, I'm real pressing about, you know, is obviously, you know, as far as, you know, industry and people, you know, to kind of taking some of the stuff in their own hands, you know, in terms of, you know, being that business person. But at the same token, you know, I always come across as somebody that sounds like I'm riding both sides of the fence, because, I mean, I understand the other side of the business, too. And I understand the worth of promotion, and I understand the worth of marketing, and I understand, you know, that there are people that's what they do. You know, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And it's so amazing, again, you know, to hear from somebody like, you know, Greystone Canyon, who you know, have people that understand the business, have been in the business, but they still did everything the way that and you know, unsigned indie should do their business, you know, and come through the ranks and do what you're supposed to do, you know, in that manner.
There's a very nice marriage of the two, of, you know, utilizing things like Bandcamp and Spotify and YouTube and
right.
Facebook for us.
Right.
Now with, you know, like imagine pre-internet, for bands to even send their stuff to magazines, radio stations, the cost of pressing things up, sending them by mail internationally. Mm. Now it's a click of a button to get your music out there, but you still need people who understand how to really infiltrate the tastemakers and the media that's going to at least get you some attention, good or bad. You know, you'll find out soon enough
whether they like it or not.
Yeah, like, you know, like that's and that's the truth. Like when we put this out, I guess in a way it validates the work we put in, but we're also lucky that the people that did receive it connected with it, because music's such a personal thing, you know?
Sure it is. Sure it is.
If someone that only likes black metal and death metal heard at Greystone Canyon, they might still say, look, this is a job well done, but it's not for me.
You know, though, it is a job well done. And I tell you what's kind of funny is that when it first came to me, you know, it was like, it's a metal band. I'm like, okay, because, you know, I do Memphis Metal Mondays. And yep. When I listened to it, though, it was like, you know what's kind of cool about this is that it can attract more than one, you know, one audience here. And it was, you know, it rode the fence, you know, on a lot of things where there was a lot of hard rock, there was a lot of rock, you know, and there, like I said, there was almost like that kind of like that Western blues thing that was going on with it as well. And so it was one of those things where this is, you know, I don't want to use this in a bad terminology, because I love you guys, obviously. It's like bait, you know. It's like, you guys are great bait band. It's like, I've got some stuff for you. You normally don't listen to this, but hey, I do this song, and they'll love it. And then they'll go, okay, what else do you do? You guys are serious bait, you know?
Thank you very much. That's a really great way of looking at it. With the album, the one thing that was, I guess, from the outset, is we didn't want to have an album where we just really played the same song 9 times,
right?
And I wasn't sure whether there would be an opportunity to get past album number one, so I really wanted to cover a lot of ground on that record that represented all the things that I liked, you know, like it, when we go back to paying homage, you know, like we love Megadeth, but we love Led Zeppelin,
yes,
we love Thin Lizzy,
yes,
you know, as much as we might like bands like the Scorpions.
Mm-hmm.
So we really just tried to have strong songs and not repeat the song, you know, where one song represents this, another song represents that.
Right. And everybody kind of
went about it.
Everybody pitches in. So the writing process, I mean, is this equal amongst the masses here, or is there one of you that's more responsible than the other as far as for starting it? How does this work?
Most of the songwriting from its inception is from myself.
Okay.
But we're also a band that it's easy to hear on the record, like neither guitar are playing the same thing at any one time. Like Rich Vella's a fantastic guitar player. He plays that flamenco before River of Fire with Sombrero Serenade.
Nice.
Dave Poulter, fantastic bass player. He does the multi-track bass piece that introduces the single that's coming out next month, Take Us All. You know, I pretty much let the guys, I just gave them the ideas.
Mm-hmm.
That were a rough format of a song.
Sure.
And then let them kind of, you know, have at it, just to put their color to it.
I got you. And they get to actually hold it for themselves for a moment and flesh it out a little bit in their style. And
absolutely.
And it works out to where everybody's style meshes together, and this is why you have this cool, original, you know, incredible sound.
Yeah, and it totally changes it. Like, you know, Rich can hear when we talk about those influences, like, you know, from Megadeth to Led Zeppelin, he can hear straight away, you know, all right, I need to use these colors to paint this song, and I need to use a separate set of colors for that song.
Right.
I'm very blessed that these guys are such versatile musicians. So
no, you're fortunate. That's like a dream team. You know what I mean? I mean, and of course, you know, big shout out to Luke, Rich, and Dave. Man, you guys rock. just because they do. You know.
Absolutely.
Darren, you mentioned something earlier, and I kind of want to go back to it for a second. You made a mention of, you know, making sure that, you know, music had gotten out to, you know, with publicity and, you know, your team, you know, that helps put these things together. And you said something that meant so much to me on making sure that they get out to, you know, tastemakers and get out to the media and stuff. And we're in such a crazy, and you know where I'm going with this, with everybody, especially the attention span that, you know, the younger generation has on where to tune into certain things or where to listen to music and where to pay attention. Everything we've talked about, you are still very ingrained and very true to your word and very true to a certain stylistic way of doing things that has never changed. You know, and in that, you know, you still believe in, you know, reaching out to those radio DJs, and you still believe in reaching out to, you know, those publicity magazines and you know, and having those one-on-ones and having those conversations. You know, is that true proof in the pudding for you that that still works, right?
Absolutely. You know, like whilst I'll say, you know, the machine, as in record companies, publicity departments, are integral to getting exposure, you need to take the onus on yourself. You need to understand the business. And I didn't just handball all of that and let the labels run. Some things we did together, and I continuously send out, you know, the music video that we've shot to whether it's guitar magazines, whether it's the broader music forum.
Sure.
Because I want as many people to hear it as possible. And, you know, you've got to take all that feedback, and that's how you can choose your targets and find your allies. You know, like we've found yourself. You know,
yeah.
To be artist of the month on Radio Memphis.
Yes.
The other guys are like, are you kidding? those accolades that you get. Like I was only saying to my wife last night, who also used to work in the music industry, it's actually easier now. I think it's an easier job to make a great record than it is to sell one.
Yes.
Like in today's climate, like the label have the harder job. Like we got some 10 out of 10 reviews. Classic Rock UK gave us a single of the week.
Yep,
you know, you've given us Artist of the Month. But actually getting people to buy it so the record company, you know, say, well, this is a worthy investment, we can keep going. It's tough, you know. That's the easier job's making the music.
Now, see, that's okay. That's the golden question. That right there is, you know, that's the master to answer, you know. And it's funny because, you know, we have this thing where, you know, we get the opportunity, you know, we get to, you know, play the music and stuff like that, you know, but we always feel like our jobs is to pump everything back to those artists and pump everything back to, you know, make sure you get the record, make sure you pick up their album, make sure you go to, you know, Rockshot Records and go, you know, to their website and go download their stuff and, you know, and all that good stuff. And you know, everybody has, they kind of got a little desensitized to a certain extent, you know, on buying music, you know, and it just all automatically being available. But one of the things I like about Greystone Canyon, okay, which is kind of the forefront of what I've seen coming across the board, you know, you guys kind of you put some kind of image to the idea of what you were putting together, you know, and again the old Western, you know, thing. Have you started noticing that everybody is starting to come out? Remember the videos in the 80s where everything was like story themed and had nothing to do with being on a stage or nothing to do with, you know, singing in a microphone? Like it was a total,
sure,
like.
Yeah.
you know. And there's a thing, like, you know, you guys step into it, you know, to a certain extent on, you know, this imagery stuff, you know, and it's so funny because we're so high tech now. Everybody's got everything from CGI to all this cool, you know, video stuff and everything else. But there are some people that have gone back to the simple things like what we used to do, and it's starting to really just shine out more so than all this other stuff. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and we were adamant that the label wanted us to make a video, and when the album was first done, I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm about the music. I don't want to mime in front of a camera. I'm not into it. And I came across this, it was an At Home with Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates.
Yes.
This something with Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
Yes.
And it was basically just them in a barn playing. And I went back to the label and I said, I'll do that, but we're actually going to play live. We'll do the album, but we'll play to a click track, and there's not going to be any other footage in it except us just in a room, and we're not playing to the camera, we're just playing to one another. I'll do that because that's natural and that's real. And we did that, and that for me personally was comfortable. It was giving them a marketing tool. It was honest, and it just shows us playing the song. You
know, that's like perfect.
Nothing more, nothing less.
That's perfect. But you know, Darren, it would be kind of cool if you were in some type of little kind of, you know, moment that you guys, you know, put together and acted out. It would be kind of cool if you did that. Don't you remember?
Sure, like with an old 50s car and we're at a gas station.
Yeah, why not?
Something. It's you really do. The guys that did those things, when you're on a budget,
yeah,
you need to be realistic of what you can truly pull off. So with the album, we got a professional in, tried and tested, that mixed it. So our albums, you know.
Yes.
When you listen to it, it doesn't sound like a demo. And when you're making a video, those videos that we're talking about had, you know, directors and big budgets. If you try and do that on a small budget, I'm not telling people they shouldn't, but more often than not, it's not going to just cut the mustard. Whereas, you know, what we did, we were fairly confident that we could at least make that look like it's the real deal.
And you did a wonderful job with that.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Now, you guys getting in, okay, you wound up actually being able to work with Rockshot Records on stuff, you know, along with Hellfire Records, and you know, that's actually two separate deals. You know, working with them, how's it been working with them?
So Rockshots have the record for everywhere bar Australia.
Okay.
Another Canadian connection, they use Asher Media, who's based in Toronto, I believe.
Yep.
And they've done a phenomenal job of getting the music out. They've done a phenomenal job of making sure that we're on all platforms, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, in the stores, on Amazon, or, you know, all of that good stuff. That's been fantastic. With Rockshots being an Italian-based label, they didn't have distribution in Australia. So a really good friend of mine has his own label here, Hellfire Records.
Okay.
He did us a solid and
nice.
Put the album out here.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, I'm real familiar with them. Asher Media. Asher Media does a lot of stuff with myself and with Radio Memphis and stuff. And they're fantastic people.
Yeah, they really have been. Like, you know, we couldn't have asked for more.
That's perfect.
And that's honestly, and that's me having worked in the music industry as well. Like, I know that there are budget restrictions and there are priorities with labels, and so to look at what the labels and the publicity that's been achieved for us, you know, we're really grateful.
That is fantastic, and that is perfect. So the album, okay, you know, while the wheel still turns, you know, is doing its thing. You know, and everybody's enjoying the In These Eyes videos and enjoying the music and enjoying the stuff. So what's the next step? I mean, you guys didn't really, I mean, you guys got together. And what's so funny about this whole conversation, to bring it back full circle, this whole escapade started just to have fun. And look what for fun got you.
Yeah, and like, I will emphasize though, fun for me. I'm a musician first, but given my background in the music industry, I had fun seeing if I could get someone to put it out. You know, I had fun. I had fun, like you said before, throwing that line out there, whether it was to the media, managers, labels, licensing partners, and to, you know, that for me was part of the fun too, you know, part of the challenge. Like,
yes,
you try and write some good music with some great musicians, you try and record well, and then you try, you know, with what you know, to see if you can get someone to get behind it and give it a push and put it out.
Perfect. But see, that's fun for you, and that's why it works.
Absolutely. Like, that's, you know, you can make great music, but if you're just making it in your bedroom and no one hears it, you don't really get to see whether it might be great for you, but it's even more rewarding if you find, you know, like-minded people elsewhere that are enjoying it.
See, that's awesome. So, big plans for the band. So, we like I said, we've got this album out, and, you know, things are kind of rolling right along. And so, have you guys sat down, you know, and decided what you wanted to do next?
Well, believe it or not, we haven't played a show, not a single gig.
I can't believe this, and that's what's so crazy to me.
The album, so we are doing it the unconventional way. The album's been out for 6 months now, and it's, you know, it's had great reviews the world over. The video's been on TV out here in Australia a bunch of times. We've already demoed songs for the second record.
Wow.
So that's very much underway. And what we're really trying to do is, it might seem backwards to people, but a lot of bands that go out and play shows, you know, in their infancy, their friends come to the shows, you know, and your friends can only come so many times, and then it just, you know, it can start to fizzle out and people become disappointed.
Absolutely.
We're trying to let the music that we've created resonate with people to a point where, you know, where we do go and play, people know the songs. People, you know, like, if you're lucky enough, you're singing along to a line here or there. So we're trying to really get that genuine, build a genuine fan base for the band. And so, you know, as that happens, that will drive us in the direction to play live.
I see. Okay, so then we got to sit there and wait patiently, you know, on our hind legs. and sit there like, you know, like in the little pretty puppy, please, you know, can I have a biscuit? When are they going to come out and play mode? Got it. That'll work. That is, I've enjoyed the album. I've enjoyed playing it, you know, and again, I've taken the liberties not only to play it on Around the World, but I do play it on Monday nights too, on some songs. Yeah. And because I just...
Thanks so much for the support. We really appreciate it.
I am thrilled. Are you kidding? And again, like I said, it's some fantastic stuff, and it's stuff that I was kind of following there for a minute. And so, you know, then when it finally, you know, arrived in, you know, in my box and stuff, and I got to pay attention and kind of dive into, it was fun unraveling the, you know, the story behind some of it, and just to go, okay, what's going on with these guys? They've got this whole mystique thing going. I got to find out. And that's me being a lady, you know. That's kind of what we do. We dig behind the scenes and we get the info we need, and, you know, and then we share it with the rest of the planet, because that's what we do.
No, look, and you know, that obviously helps bands so much, like that.
Yes.
And whether it's independent or not, you know, like what you guys are doing, that is part of the machine. Like, for you guys to discover something you like and share it, you know, with people that like what you guys like that's how things happen.
Absolutely. And we're very fortunate. And again, you know, with the music and stuff that we get to receive, like stuff from you guys, you know, we do all styles and all genres and stuff. And again, yes, unsigned and indies is what we push and stuff, but we have so many veterans. We have so many national artists, you know, national groups and stuff like that kind of jump in and support. Either we get to sit down and talk with, they come in our studios and they get to perform. And we're talking, you know, anything from metal, rock, blues, country, all of it. And so, you know, for me, you know, listening to a lot of stuff, there's a sea of some enormously fantastic music. And when I get to talk to somebody like yourself, you know, that has somewhat of a direction. And, you know, and I've got some of these other groups and these bands and these artists and stuff that are tuned in and they get to listen to, as well as all of our fans that love the music. You know, it's important to me because it's like everybody's swimming in the same pond and they're wading in the same water and, like, nobody's going anywhere. They're all just kind of waiting. And so, you know, it's always good to hear from somebody like yourself and what you and your band have going on as to listen. You know, listen to some of the things that you've said and pay attention to some of the things that you've thrown out there and stuff, because, you know, this is a crazy place that everybody's trying to waddle through and trying to, you know, maneuver and figure. I tell everybody all the time that history repeats itself, you know, and everybody thinks that this is like a new frontier and a new horizon. And I tell everybody, and you know, Darren, you might get this. I tell everybody, I was like, you know, we're back in the 80s. When, remember all the majors that are, you know, some of the semi-major indies now that were just starting as indies then? You remember what I'm talking about?
Absolutely, yep.
And everybody's just kind of trying to feel their way out and trying to figure a couple things out and try a few some new things. And, you know, you're right. We didn't have the internet, you know, as much as an accessibility as we do now. And everybody was screaming in a hurricane just to be heard because it was hard for them to get noticed. And you had to be talented and you had to be good and you had to be pro and you had to have, you know, a quality production and, you know, and quality album and, you know, quality recordings and, you know, and everything else. I kind of come back around the circle and it's like, okay, 1,000,002 people in any millisecond can hit the waves with a bunch of music. I said, we're back to that again, because now guess what? You got to be good. You got to be talented. You got to have good production. You have to have good recordings. You have to have good marketing. So we're kind of in the same place. And so,
look, I think that's a good thing, because there does need to be a standard. You know,
yes,
for anyone, if you buy Netflix and you go on there and log on and everything's made, filmed on someone's phone, unscripted, and it's just, you know, a sea of, you got to wade through all that to find the good stuff. You hope someone somewhere is kind of, you know, filtering out and
yep.
keeping some kind of quality control on what's going on.
Yep, yep, and you said it.
You guys do that yourself, you know, I'm sure
yes.
you're inundated with demos and...
Yes.
You find the ones that you think, you know, this one's really great and this band has promise but it's not there yet, or, you know, what, however you feel about it.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because we get to spend some time with it and stuff like that. Or then we'll have somebody like, you know, Bumblefoot call and say, play my stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay. As long as you're indie, man, you know. And he is, and he's great, and he's
absolutely
wonderful.
Mr.
Bumblefoot. Yeah, he's wonderful. But, you know, for the example that you put out, Darren, you know, kudos. Great job. Great job to you and the band. All of you guys are doing a fantastic bang up job. And it is quite a thing to watch and quite a thing to follow. And I'm going to be looking forward to hearing some new stuff from you guys. One of my things when I listen to music also too, and somebody asks, you know, what it is that, what are you looking for? You know, I tell them all the time, I was like, I'm looking for something that I'm going to keep looking for 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if there's one thing I can say from experience for any listeners that play in bands, trying to do something that's current now, by the time you get going on that, it won't be current anymore. So you're really better off just, you know, like playing from the heart and just disregarding whatever's current and happening now, because I can tell you from experience, by the time, you know, you've got your thing happening and you've got some exposure for your band doing that so-called current sound, people have changed.
There it is. I'm so glad. See, I didn't even have to ask you what advice you would give. You just did it. You see, you're such a pro. This is awesome. That's it.
I really think it's important, and it's been a learning curve for me too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this has been the most rewarding music I've recorded, because I totally discarded what was current and, you know, didn't even choose one style, kind of put a whole bunch of different ones together that I liked, and we got some great praise for it. And
yes, you did.
Yes,
you did.
It's worked out well.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you for getting up early, because you're in Australia. And you're like, what time? I mean, I normally do these earlier, but I know where you're at. So I made
it's
sure.
Early for a fireball shot here.
I wanted to make sure that we got you, you know, you had some coffee, everything was good, all that good stuff. If people are looking for you guys, you know, and they're wanting to catch up with you, and they're wanting to follow you, and they want to see what's coming up next and stuff, where are you telling everybody to go?
Sure, you know, like we've got all the usual social media platforms, okay. Like Greystone Canyon on Facebook, our videos on YouTube, Greystone Canyon in These Shoes. There'll be a new video dropping next month.
Perfect.
For another single. You can get the album on iTunes, Amazon, Apple Music, Spotify, you know, like...
Perfect.
Anyone wants to drop me a line and tell me what they think, you know, like I'm all ears.
That's awesome. That's perfect. And I'll tell you what we did too. The interview was recorded, you know, and of course I'll make sure I'll clean up the very beginning of like, can you hear me? but we'll make sure that that's available to you as well and stuff. So everybody, because like I said, this is everything you've said today has been just on the money, on the point.
Thanks so much for your time and your support. You know, like, and I mean that, like, for us sitting here in Australia, the guys that I play with, they're just diehard music fans that are great musicians. And when I told them that we were Artist of the Month in Memphis, you know, like, I know you guys give a band that once a month, but when I told them that, they were just like, are you for real? Like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So they were super stoked about that. And it's a cool thing.
Well, you tell them too, because this is something that we do for this show right here, for Around the World. And it's purposely for a band that is not from Memphis and not from the Mid-South. So I'm scouring, I'm looking, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things. And so, you know, kudos to them too. They've done such a fantastic job.
Is there a fairly healthy scene there for rock music?
Yes.
Yep. So for local bands that are playing or whatever, there's venues and a decent crowd.
There, yes and no. You know, yes and no. You know, it's funny because everybody has the same problems, you know. And it's so funny that, like, somebody from Australia is going to think it's going to be better in, you know, New York, or it's going to be better in Los Angeles or Memphis or Atlanta. And somebody in Atlanta is going to think it's better in Memphis, and somebody in Memphis is going to think it's better in Nashville, you know what I mean? And I think what you hit on, you know, about, you know, saturation and, you know, talking about immediately getting out there, you know, and playing the live shows and stuff like that, instead of letting things cook and simmer and, you know, creating the promotion and stuff like that. There's a lot to be said for that, one. Also, two, not only is the industry trying to figure some things out musically for the labels, for people buying albums, records, and things like that, you've also got the other side of the business, you know, the people that own the venues, the people that own the businesses that hire the entertainment. You know, the relationship has gotten a little skewed with the way things are now versus the way things used to run, if that makes sense. And everybody's kind of forgotten that if you're an artist and you go play for a venue, it's one of those things where you're not doing them a favor. They do you a favor for allowing you into their event space. But also, too, is that you're also an extension of that business, because you're trying to promote them to make money, you know, so people will come and, you know, pay cover and will come and buy drinks and buy food and, you know, buy stuff and have a good time. You know, and on the flip side, you know, venues also too, that in order to, you know, they need to be better gatekeepers. They need to make sure that not only they invest in making sure they have all the proper equipment and the proper time and things in place, you know, for people to come and perform, and the proper staff, you know, for, you know, whether it's running sound, running door, or whatever. Those things are very key and very, very pinnacle, you know, to make things happen. But they also need to, you know, they need to be gatekeepers in that they have to invest in, you know, quality of what it is, you know, and who it is that's playing. And when everybody figures out and remembers those places and their lanes and certain things like that, they'll realize just how important where they stand is in relation to the music business. So for us, you know, this is Memphis. I mean, we, you know, home of rock, home of blues, you know, and, you know, we have just the crazy quirks and the crazy things like everybody else in any other town. But what we have that's different than anybody on the planet is that everybody does try to show up here because they're trying to get this sound, or they're trying to get this on them. And they're trying, and yes, we got a lot of people under the radar, and people come hide here, and they're they go into the dungeons and some cool recording studios and they make stuff, and you know, there's a lot of people that show up, you know, out of the recesses that throw out the ideas and advice. And And I think this is, like I said, this is really, you know, we've always been one of the biggest indie towns on the planet, especially in the States anyway. You know, it's been like that since history, since day one. And I think, yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, that's so attractive, because I mean, like, I'm talking to you about it, and it doesn't matter who I talk to. Everybody's always asking me about the deal with Memphis, because Memphis is that attraction. You know, Memphis is that, you know, that heartache and that heartbreak, and you know, and yeah. Everybody wants a piece of it. Is it that magical? Yes. Is it magical for a reason? Yes. Is it easy? No.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Everybody wants to tap into something like that and be able to. You know, be inspired
and get
some of that into their bloodstream.
Yeah, just you said it. They come down here. They go to Beale Street like it's the yellow brick road. You know,
yeah,
they're like, if I eat the dirt that Elvis walked on, I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get. It's like they're gonna contract it like a disease.
Turn blue suede and all.
Absolutely,
the live scene here.
Yeah.
Melbourne's always had a fantastic live scene, and it still does, but at the moment, it's fragmented. There's too many different subgenres rather than the best of
see.
If you take rock as a broad genre of everything from, you know, heavy blues to the hardest metal, if you took the best of each one and put them together, you'd have bigger shows. But the venues here, they're not gatekeepers. They'll come to someone like myself and they'll ask me to put a lineup of five bands.
Yeah, we'll see.
You do all the promotion yourself. They don't do any. Then you have to pay the door person and the sound person out of your pocket. And if you sell any merch, they want a piece of that too. And you'd be lucky to get two domestic beers if you're playing in. You know, they're draining the well dry.
Welcome to Memphis. Welcome to New York. Welcome to LA. Welcome to Atlanta. Welcome
everywhere.
Yeah, okay. So here's the deal. There, you know, the grass is not greener on any sides of the fence now that, you know, you and I have had this discussion with how many miles between us and oceans and stuff. Same thing. And that's my point. When everybody realizes as far as their roles and what they truly were and what, you know, and what you can and can't do with it and what you should do, then those things will work out, you know?
So my whole, the way I went about everything, and I, you know, I've played live here for years, done multiple tours of Australia, obviously not with Greystone Canyon, but we let this come out, and here it's done really well, and we're just going to play the waiting game that when we get asked to play live, we'll just ask for a flat guarantee and on our terms, and if you don't want to go there, we're fine with that. You know, people that like us can listen to the music. If you want us to play live, it's going to be on our terms.
Nice.
So, because a lot of bands, you know, like when you're super young, you'll play at any expense. You'll buy onto a tour. You'll do whatever because you so need it. You know, to validate what you're doing. And for me, recorded music is what stays forever. You know, like I've never seen ZZ Top live. I think they've only come here once, but I own all their records and I'll be listening to them till the day I die.
See?
The live show, if you go and see them, maybe one night they're good, maybe one night, you know, they're not so good, but to me, the recorded music, that's what you leave behind. That's the important part. The live show is a vehicle that, you know, helps sustain that. And helps keep it going, but if we do that, we really want to do it on our terms.
You're perfect, because what you're saying also too is that when you're investing in what your permanent marker is, the, you know, the live stuff is going to work itself out. Permanent marker is where all the effort needs to go into.
Sure, if people, you know, if our album does well enough and a promoter wants us to play somewhere, well, it's not like, you know, you're gonna have to put in like we've put in.
See, there it is. Yeah, you and I, man, we could talk all day about this. Yeah, we're on the same page.
Thanks so much. much for the opportunity, and thanks so much for supporting the band and playing our stuff. And it's been great talking to you.
It has been wonderful talking to you, Darren. Look, and I'll make sure that I'm going to drop my email, you know, in our little message chat that we have going on with each other, because I want you to keep in touch with me and let me know what you have going on. And if there's anything that any of us here at Radio Memphis, you know, can do for you and for Greystone Canyon, I mean, and then we're able to, I mean, I'm all about it. Please let me know.
Look, fantastic. We'll have a new video soon. I'll flick you the link for that.
Okay.
And I'll keep you up to date with what we're doing. And
perfect.
Until you block me.
No, I'm not going to block you. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play another song from you to go out of this interview. In fact, I'm actually going to play The Sunset. So... I got kind of hooked on that one, so I'm gonna play that for everybody. How about that?
Fantastic. All right. That's great.
Well, you go enjoy your coffee. Okay, go kiss your wife. And all that good stuff. We'll chat again soon, sweetheart.
Beautiful. You have a great evening, and we'll keep in touch.
All right, baby. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dad. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Darren Cherry. That is the front man for Greystone Canyon out of Australia. And what a fantastic conversation. This is definitely one that we're going to keep. And if you guys are just now tuning in, obviously the show's gone over a little bit. And we're having, you know, we're having some fun and stuff. We had some technical difficulties in the beginning to get this interview up and running, but we got it. And, you know, this is an individual that was able not only to, you know, share some incredible moments and, you know, share an incredible group of guys, you know, in the band. They all, you know, Darren also shared some incredible insight, you know, on kind of how some of this business works. And so that was definitely worth it. If you've missed any of this, you know, be looking forward to in the next week. We'll definitely have it up on demand at radio-memphis.com. So you guys check it out there. All right. And we'll definitely put the links out and stuff like that. We'll most definitely make it available, you know, to the band so they can share it with you guys, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, we want to thank them also for being our artist of the month for Radio Memphis Around the World for October 2018. We've enjoyed the hell out of playing a rock block every Saturday, you know, of their music and stuff. And don't forget that you guys can go all the normal suspects when you're talking about trying to find some of their music and pick up, you know, the album While the Wheel Still Turns. In the meantime, what I need to do for you is that I need to go ahead and play another song for you guys. And this is just going to tell you how diverse this band, you know, kind of really is and all the crazy cool stuff that they've got going on. The Sunsets. And, you know, when you're talking about a band that's kind of preluded as being a metal rock band, this one right here, this one's going to kind of get you a little bit in the feels. And this is also going to be one that's, I'm telling you, man, this is bait. This is one of those bait songs that's going to get everybody else to come to the dark side, because the dark side's cool. Dark side's got some cookies. And in the meantime, Radio Memphis has got some Greystone Canyon, and it's only for you right here, right now, right here.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.